Well, good evening, family of faith. Welcome. Please come in and have a seat. We have a few coming in the door, so we'll give it just a minute for you guys to get situated, but welcome. It's so good to see you again. It's good to be here. Happy Wednesday. We only have two announcements tonight. One is for the VBS. That's coming up so soon. Wow, the end of June. It's going to be on the 23rd is the first day for that. There are still a few things that are needed in the back. And if you've already taken a post-it note, please bring whatever item you chose in by this Sunday. We've already pushed it out 1 week. We wanted them by this past Sunday. So if you can, please bring them in this Sunday. You can give them to Amanda. If you can't find her, just put them under the table and she'll back there and she'll collect them. We're so excited for that. And we thank you in advance for your donations. That helps us so much. And there was one more thing about VBS this weekend. Oh, there's a meeting for that. If you volunteered to help in one of the areas, there's going to be a meeting for it this Sunday after church. Just come up here. I'm assuming we'll just gather up at front. You can ask questions. We'll tell you some details. So thank you in advance for that. If you remember, we had muffins with mom, and so we're going to have donuts with dad. And that's before church. So first come, first serve. Get you your donut. But, yeah, so that'll be on Father's Day. Donuts with Dad. Don't forget about that. Well, it's great to see you all. Let's stand on our feet and worship Jesus today. Thank you.
done great things. Oh.
I belong to you.
supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory, Lord. We thank you for who you are and what you have already done and what you have yet to do in our lives, God. We say yes to you and no to the cares of this world, Lord. Just come and have your way, Lord. We say you are all that we want, Father. We love and adore you tonight. In Jesus' name, the name that is greater than any other name. Amen. Well, amen. We're excited to have you here with us. If you would, go around and greet some of your family of faith tonight. Kids, you are dismissed.
It's good to have you all tonight. We'll give everybody a chance to get their kids checked into kids' church and make their way back up here. But it's good to see you all tonight. Happy Wednesday. Happy Wednesday. And you notice Margo is not here again tonight. Notice she did not leave me. Well, she sort of did. She sort of did. She's still in Tennessee, went down on Friday, I think, to see, and Hope went with her to spend the week with our granddaughter. I'm actually flying down tomorrow one way, then Saturday, so I get to spend a couple days. We'll drive back up Saturday. We'll be at church Sunday, but David asked me, he's like, how are you making it? And that's actually a very good question. I think just one day at a time, flying by the seat of my pants. I was just thinking, it's and she doesn't make dinner every night. I grill a lot, whatever, but even when I'm coming home, it's like, what's in the fridge? Is there anything I can eat in here, you know, without having to make a big meal, I guess. But one time, let me tell you how I take care of myself. There was a few years ago, I went down to Kentucky to bow hunt for 3 days with her uncle. Who lived down there at that time. And in 3 days of hunting and taking care of myself, I lost 5 pounds. So that tells you how much I take care of, how much I eat when Margaret's not with me. So it'll be good to have her back. Anyways, while we're waiting, don't forget Sycamore House fundraiser. These are due a week from this Sunday on Father's Day. Fill these up. If you didn't grab one yet, they're at the back door. Take one home. Fill it with your car change laying around. I know even more people use their debit cards or their credit cards. We don't carry cash as much as we used to, but I guarantee if you look, you can find change laying around. Take your couch, shake it out. You can probably fill a quarter of this thing with the stuff that falls out of your couch. But anyways, Father's Day, these are due. So please have those back by then. And as Kelly announced at the front, if you took a post-it note off the board, please have that stuff here Sunday. They've got to start collecting everything. VBS is coming really quick. And again, there is a meeting for those that signed up for help. If you didn't sign up and want to help, please let Amanda know. She's sort of the point person on it. We could use a couple more volunteers yet. We're hoping our goal is to have 50 kids out at VBS this year. And it, by the way, just for kind of 4 years old, potty trained through fifth grade. It won't have, we won't be prepared for nursery level babies, but potty trained it up, if you want to put it that way, and could always use some more help for that. But anyways, let me put over your tithe and offering. If you haven't prepped that, there are envelopes are in the seats in front of you. If not, wave your hand around and one of the ushers will get one to you. But let me pray over it. If you have something, you can bring it. Lord, we thank you to be here on a Wednesday night, Lord, and prayers for those that are traveling on vacation as summer's kicking off and school's letting out. But I pray that the house is blessed tonight. And I pray, Lord, as we give an extension of our worship, that everything that we do is pleasing to you, including how we handle our finances, that our finances are submissive to you and they are subversive to us in the way that that we handle it and that we honor you with all the things of our life, including the money that we have and the increase that comes into our life. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. You can bring it if you have something. On a more somber note, real quick, if you had not heard, Jeffrey Wright, Jeffrey and Katie, who attended our church for years until they became homebound, Jeffrey passed away the other day. He was at a nursing home in Springfield for, I don't know how long he'd been there, 2-3 years now. Anyways, he passed away a couple days ago. We will be having a memorial service for Jeffrey on June the 30th. It'll be a couple weeks out, June the 30th. That's a Sunday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon right here. So if any of you knew Jeffrey and want to attend that, so it'll sort of be visitation with Katie or any of his family from 12 to 1. Then we'll have a memorial service for Jeffrey at 1 o'clock here. So just want to make you aware of that. It's not out anywhere yet because they're just gathering the information, but there will be an obituary put out, and we'll post it on the church Facebook when that gets sent out. So prayers for Katie at this time and the family, and these times are not obviously easy, but yet this is definitely one of those cases to know. At the end of his life, Jeffrey really wasn't responsive much anymore, much more than maybe a hand gesture or a head nod or whatever. So he's just in a better spot. And obviously the Bible talks that when we are absent from the body, we're present with the Lord. And that's where Jeffrey is. So we're excited for him that he finished the race and he finished and in the sense that he is now with Jesus. Amen. And his eternal reward is being realized. So, prayers for Katie, and then if you would join us for that memorial service on June the 30th. All righty. If you got your Bibles, get it out. We're going to go to Romans chapter 13. So, Sunday, I closed out our series on the kingdom of God, and we talked about the kingdom of God and politics. And there was too much to say Sunday, so I wanted to kind of spill into that tonight. I didn't want to take up another Sunday with it, but I thought there was a couple, two or three things that I wanted to jump into tonight that sort of were an add-on or an extension of what we talked about this past Sunday. Now, I understand this is not necessarily the most exciting topic in the world, but yet that we have a foundational understanding of the kingdom of God, a kingdom not of this world, is making its way in this world, but this world has systems of government that are set up that people live under, and then how do we interact within that as citizens of the kingdom of God? So we talked about a handful of different things. Most of it was really warnings of being careful. We are to participate, and I'm thankful. Again, I know we were saying this Sunday, I am thankful that I live in a country where I can participate. That's not the case everywhere. So where you can have a voice, okay? But yet at the same time, there are some warnings about participation in the way that we do participate, not only with our attitudes, but how much hope and trust we put in things, and certainly how we view political parties and candidates and the like. So if you missed that, you can check out the live stream from last Sunday on that. So a couple things I just want to get into. Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. Let's read what Paul has to write here. And we read this, when we read this, we're going to jump over to Titus chapter 3 and verse 1 and read kind of a sister verse to this. So it says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are the ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. And let's jump over to Titus chapter 3 and verse 1, just real quick, just to kind of emphasize what Paul wrote there. He says it in a certain way here in Titus 2. So Titus chapter 3 and verse 1. Remind them, of course, he's writing to Titus himself, so Titus can spread this word. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, and to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy towards all people, and so forth. So just jumping in there on what he said at the beginning, to be submissive to rulers and authorities. Now, just kind of put an emphasis on it. Now go back to Romans 13. Hopefully you kept your finger there. Back to Romans 13. So let me read the first verse again. Again, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Okay, so those two, what we read in Romans and just emphasized in Titus, that's a mouthful, okay? And I know that there are a lot of people that struggle with what Paul is saying there. Now, when it says there are no authorities that God has not instituted, you have to understand Paul is working at a ground level right here. And what Paul is saying is when God makes man in the beginning, and he sets Adam, he sets them as the governing authority of creation. Didn't he do that? So Paul is working from a base level that man was put on this earth to govern the earth. And when we talk about that, understand that it goes back to this idea that we are to be image bearers of God as we live. And part of being an image bearer is that we reflect a good and wise governing of what God has given us. Okay? So in a base level, the governing authorities that we have actually stem from God's original establishment of man to govern the creation that he made. Okay? Now, what we have in different, different nations and different people groups with the governing authorities they have, it's so varied throughout the world, right? You can have democracies, you can have dictatorships, you can have all sorts of stuff and everything in between. Though God established governing authorities, it does not mean that every governing authority is doing what it's supposed to do. It's not doing it wisely. It's not doing it in a way that reflects God and who he is and his goodness. Understand that. So in one sense, yes, all governing authorities are established by him because that's simply how he set things up, right? Now, by the way, there's a little side thing to this too, in that the sovereignty of God plays into this a little bit also, I think. So for instance, right now, right now in my personal devotion time, my Old Testament readings, I'm in the prophet Isaiah. It's my favorite Old Testament book, the prophet Isaiah. And if you read through Isaiah, you get into chapters 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. It's all these woes against these nations that God is going to bring judgment, prophecies coming forth. Now, the only way that prophecy can happen is that there is a sovereign God who is behind the scenes taking us to a certain place. Does that make sense? So even in a certain sense of God's sovereignty, the rulers and authorities in place are ordained by him in a certain sense. In other words, God is working behind the scenes in a lot of things in ways I don't think we understand all the time. But the only way he can take us to a certain place in our histories is because, well, he's sovereign. And he works with nations and rulers. And how many times you see in the Bible, especially Old Testament, where they're like, hey, you know, if you don't straighten up, then this people group's going to come in. You're going to be taken into exile. Well, how can that happen unless God is sovereignly working behind the scenes in certain things? It's not that he's dictating everything that happens, but yet sovereignly he is working us to a certain place. And I think Paul is also drawing on that idea in this. But when it comes to then the governing authorities that are in place, Paul is saying, look, in a general sense, as a Christian, we must learn to live peaceably underneath the governing authorities that are above us. And see, you got to understand, in Paul's day, of course, the governing authority was the Roman Empire. Christian persecution sort of ebbed and flowed in that time period. It wasn't, I think some people think from the moment that the first Christians went out, they were absolutely persecuted and they're thrown in the Colosseum and they're being eaten by lions. Those things happened, but it wasn't just constant all the time. It sort of ebbed and flowed based on who the emperor was. And a lot of times it wasn't even all the way across the Roman Empire. It was a lot of times localized persecution within the empire, okay? But the point is this. There was enough pushback on Christians. Paul is pretty much saying here, look, don't cause more trouble for yourself than you need to, because you may cause trouble for yourself simply being a believer. That's what he's sort of getting at. It's a baseline level. That it's kind of like this. So Paul writes a couple of different places. He says, slaves, obey your masters. It's not as if Paul is endorsing slavery any much as he's endorsing the specific government that's happening in the moment. What he's saying is, as a believer, if this is the lot you find yourself in life, then here is the proper code of conduct as a Christian within where you found yourself. So if you're a slave, the proper conduct of a slave within proper boundaries is to obey your master. In other words, as he writes in Colossians, learn to do everything as unto the Lord. Okay, but he also says slaves, treat your slaves good too. You shouldn't be abusing them and things of this nature. So in other words, this is the structure of society you find yourself in. We know that Paul was very progressive and he's taken it somewhere because he's saying at the same time, remember, but in him, there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. So he's not endorsing it, but he says, but if you find yourself there, there's a proper way to live within it. It's the same thing with this. The governing authority that Paul finds himself in is not Christian. It's the Roman Empire. They worship other gods. In fact, they came to the place where they were worshiping the emperor himself, the Caesar. Right? To participate in certain aspects of society, you need to show allegiance in offering things in order sometimes to participate monetarily, which is where the idea of the mark of the beast comes in Revelation. But Paul's saying, within this government that we find ourselves, obey what is there so you can live peaceably within it. Because the state, as he writes there, does actually carry the sword. And there are certain ways that God uses even what doesn't honor him to carry out things of right justice. But at the same time, often empires and nations that aren't honoring God, they carry things out in wrong ways too. Okay? So as much as you find yourself able to, listen, live peaceably underneath the governing authorities that you have. And he even talks about taxes. Look, if you owe taxes, pay it. Just do it. Why are you trying to cause a stink about it? What are you saying? Because you may have some level of persecution simply because you're a believer. Let's not stir up other things if we don't have to. Now, but we also do understand that if a governing authority comes to me and says, you may not practice Christianity, I don't say, yes, sir. I also understand that if a governing authority tells me you can't share the gospel, I don't say, yes, sir. Because we also find within this idea of learning to live peaceably that yet the early church was being martyred for their faith. And the only reason they were being martyred for their faith was because they weren't towing the line and saying that we're going to worship the gods of Rome or the emperor himself. See what I'm getting at? So is there a time not to follow the law? Yeah, when it comes to things that cause you to violate your faith or recant your faith. Now, I have never faced that in my life in this country, thank God. Has anybody ever said something about me because I'm a Christian? Well, sure. But nobody at this time in our nation is trying to force me not to be a Christian. There weren't government agencies, whether National Guard, Army, or local police force trying to stop me from coming into church tonight. See, I'm getting at. So I can learn to live peaceably under the government that I have, even in a sense of being free to worship as I wish in our country. See, I'm getting at. But that's not all the same for everybody. As I said Sunday, there's governing authorities in the world where there's actually state-sponsored persecution, state-sponsored atheism, which then turns around to state-sponsored persecution of Christians, or even if you want to be honest, of other tenets of faith too. Ebbs and flows and times in China. If you wanted to meet as a church, you had to do it secretly, the underground church. Can you imagine in America if we had to meet that way? Sometimes I wonder if y'all are coming to church when we're allowed to. I'm kidding. I don't think that about you guys. But imagine if we weren't allowed, but we still tried to get together knowing that we could be arrested and maybe, depending on the situation, be put in some sort of prison and left there or somewhere work camp. Oh, my goodness. Thank goodness we don't face that here. Now, so, yes, we honor the governing authorities above us, though never in such a way that it would cause us to try to not live our faith and worship God as we know we are to. Now, what about things that have nothing to do with faith? Can you disagree? Well, absolutely. My goodness, yes. Have a voice, have an opinion. How then to respond to those things? Well, everything, first of all, has to come through your faith. Right? And there's nothing that you are to do that you can segment from the fact that you're a Christian. That's sort of what Paul is sort of getting at here. Okay? And are there times where we get involved in political activism that just goes beyond voting? Well, sure. But again, those things for each individual has to come in wisdom. And the whole reason we have a nation, the United States, is because we were mad about taxation without representation. We weren't happy with what was going on in England and what they were doing here in the colonies. And there was action, but no taxation without representation. I think maybe somebody would try to argue that's something to do with Christianity. I don't think so. It's just taxes on tea and stuff we didn't like to pay. It's not fair. So what are we going to do about it? Well, we flow those things through wisdom and our faith in how we respond to these things. And certainly there are times that we have to move and do things based on what's happening above us in our government. Does that make sense? But in the general sense, what Paul is saying, learn to live peaceably underneath the governing authorities that are above you. That's our lot. And this is how we approach our everyday life. Amen? As a matter of fact, to the point, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And we'll just, verse 1. It says, first of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. And this is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there's one mediator between God and man, Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, and which is a testimony given at the proper time. Okay. One of the biggest things as believers when it comes to the governmental authorities that are above us that we must be about is to what? Pray. See, again, in our nation, this specific country, we have a wonderful opportunity to participate in the political process. We're allowed to have opinions. We're allowed to share those opinions. We can, in our wisdom, vote, all these different things. But along with that, be praying for those that are in leadership above us, whether or not you like the guy that's in there or the gal. Right? That's what Paul's saying. And part of the reason we pray is so we can live peaceable lives. And get back to that Romans thing, learning how to be peaceable within the governance above you. So, our currently right now, our president is Joe Biden. You should be actively praying for him. What? For is he saved? For salvation. First and foremost. Do you think, okay, I don't care. You can put whatever president in our history in that spot. Do you think Jesus wants them to be saved? Do they deserve an opportunity to be saved? Should you care that they're saved? Pray for them. Pray for your Congress, the House and the Senate. Pray for the judiciary branch, the Supreme Court. Pray for your local, pray for them. Not just for their salvation, but also that they rule wisely. They govern justly. Pray about it. And see, when you pray for somebody, it does something to your heart. I may not like any specific president that's there, and they may be there and I did not vote for them, but that should never stop me from praying for them and wanting to see their good. And who knows, that maybe they, even though you didn't vote for them, who's to say that they can't do things that are wise in reflection of what it means to govern wisely? Who's to say? You just never know. So we should be people of prayer for those that are in authorities over us. So instead of, again, now I hear people say that today's political climate is the worst ever. Well, you do know we had a civil war, right? Literal. So I'm not saying it's the worst climate ever. I mean, my goodness. I think we live in our moment where this is the worst ever. Well, is it bad? Yes. Is it the only time in our country's history? No. Okay. But I say that to say this. Yes, we are in a political climate that it turns very easy nasty and name-calling and making fun and putting down. And if they're not with you, they're absolute the enemy. And listen to me. Pray. Don't name call. You know, you can disagree very strongly without calling names. You can disagree very strongly and still pray for them. See, I'm getting at. Because what happens is when you learn to pray, even when you strongly disagree, it keeps you from getting caught up in it in a way that you should not. See, I'm getting at. There's a proper Christian response to the lot you've been given in life. And by the way, if we call ourselves a pray-first church, then we should be praying for our governmental authorities. Now, here's what I've heard said. I've heard people say something like this. I just pray, Lord, you get rid of all the evil in our government. Okay. I have a problem with that prayer. But you realize that kind of prayer doesn't stay on one side of the aisle. You know that. And then we pray that we're always thinking about the other side. Well, that's going to cover the whole deal. So pray it, but if things start getting exposed on who you thought you liked, don't be mad about it. You see what I'm getting at? It just didn't work one way. But don't just pray things like that. Pray positive in essence of, Lord, save them. I pray, Lord, you bless them. Lord, I pray wisdom comes to them. I pray when decisions are made that somehow your spirit works in these things. You see what I'm getting at? That you pray in a way that guards your heart from being involved in these things in the wrong kind of way. Because again, yes, our political situation is very, very disjointed. And as we go towards November, it's going to heat up, and it's going to get nasty, and social media is going to be filled with all this stuff. It's going to be on the news, and the political parties and the politicians are going to be saying stuff. Don't get caught up in it. Guard your heart. And then stand firm where you stand. Just because I don't preach this stuff from the pulpit doesn't mean I don't have strong opinions. I got strong opinions. I just don't do it up here in front of you. It's not the place. But I have very strong opinions, but I have these opinions without just motoring my mouth about it. Jesus said, Sermon on the Mount. He said, well, how about we just go there? Matthew 5. And there's one other thing I want to bring up real quick, but this is just my mind running here on this, my heart. Let me just put this in your heart for a second. Now I'll finish what I want to say. Matthew 5, and let's see. Verse 21. 5:21, it says, you heard it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. And whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. You see that? In other words, Jesus is getting at even how you talk in a derogatory way towards another. Be careful. What is becoming of somebody who has been saved in this situation? Watch how you talk and what you say and what you post. Okay? Because just because it's a heated political situation doesn't mean that you can get outside of the character of the Christian faith. And by the way, you would not allow, listen, I think it's kind of like this. I think that, I think we look at aspects of our life, we say, yeah, but all of a sudden we take how we interact with politics and we put it out here, like its own thing. I'm going to be all Christian and everything over here, but when we get to politics, come on, man. And then we want to act how we want. You can't separate. It comes with the whole thing. Okay? All right. Let me close with this. And this is just something I want to mention. It's been coming up a lot. It's been talked about a lot. It's this idea of Christian nationalism. How many of you have heard this? Anybody? Christian nationalism. And by the way, definitions mean everything. So there are different definitions when people talk about this. But there is a form of what we call Christian nationalism that people are proponents of, that Christians should take over the government and instill Christian laws in our country and then be governed that way. Christian nationalism. Now, there are different, people define it different ways, but there's a, I would say, the fringe aspect of Christian nationalism. That we should take over the government. If we can't do it democratically, we'll do it another way. And then institute laws that we find in the Bible, or we would think reflect God's wise rule. And then everybody should be subject to those laws. Now, first off, remember, you can't legislate somebody to salvation. Nor can you legislate a person to be authentically Christian. Yes, there are good and wise laws that we vote for and pray are instituted that reflect wisdom of the word. But when it comes to that, and again, there's different definitions of that. I'm not speaking to those, but to that fringe one. See, our country, an aspect of it was birthed and growing into safeguarding expressions of faith. Right? Freedom of religion. A Christian nationalistic government that would then have a state-sponsored religion, which the whole reason the Puritans and them came over here in the first place from the Church of England, right, wouldn't allow the safeguarding of religious expression. Now, there's some people on that fringe that will say, good, I'm glad. Okay, and there's some robust conversation that be had there. But just understand this. As long as you have a nation of people where not everybody's a Christian, and where religions are safeguarded so somebody can worship as a Muslim here, they can worship as a Buddhist here, they can claim atheism here, they can worship as a Christian and everything in between all over the place, then the voting is going to reflect those different ideologies. And like we said Sunday, whatever values they draw will intersect with their voting. Some people would like to remove all that and just make it all Christian. That sounds great. It sounds great until another religion takes over. You see what I'm getting at? It sounds good as long as Christianity is in charge, but as soon as, say, that Islam is in charge, then all of a sudden you're like, I don't like this religious nationalism. I want to be free to worship how I want. So, because then it turns into gaining power and then the means of keeping power and subjecting people to that power. That's a dangerous game to play when you talk about the kingdom of God. You think about that. It all sounds good as long as what you like's in charge. How many know what I'm saying? But then what comes in that is, well, Christian, if we just put the Christians in charge, it'll all be great. Well, what's Christians? Catholics? Lutherans? Episcopalians? Pentecostals? The Lutherans? Let me give you an example. I'm saying this to make you think. I'm not giving you answers here. I'm saying this to make you think. I was reading, just within this is within the last year, last 12 months, this Christian nationalism. This guy was in favor of it, but his view of women was like this. Women should not be in charge because they have a patriarchal view of what you find in the Bible. You know what he said? And because women can't be in charge, they shouldn't be allowed to vote for who is in charge. His idea of Christian nationalism is to pare down to only men can vote. And he says he's a Christian. He's in a certain denomination. Again, well, who's actually in charge and gets to make the rules? You see what I'm getting at? Because it sounds great until it's happening. You're like, wait a second. Well, time out. Whoa, let's back up and have more conversation about this. That might not be as great as it sounds, is all I'm saying to make you think when you see things like this out there. It might not be that great. I mean, all I'm talking about. See what I'm getting at? So what we have today is, again, we are a constitutional republic that works as a democracy where you get to vote and have a voice and have a right. And thank goodness we still have it. And it's the safeguarding of religious freedom. You can practice how you want, which is why we're allowed to be here tonight. Amen. So what I'm going to do then within that, okay, I'm going to be free then to share my faith within the system that we have with those who don't believe like me and may vote another way. Because there then is the kingdom of God working within the governmental system that we have. That's how the kingdom of God advances. And where our values and voting can intersect, where we see things instituted as laws that we think is great and wonderful, great. But underneath all that, I'm going to live peaceably, I'm going to honor, I'm going to pray, and I'm still going to be about the work of the kingdom. I think it's what Paul's getting at when he says the stuff that he says. Okay? So, I'm going to stop there, just a little add-on to Sunday morning. Again, the thing about the Christian nationalism, maybe make you think a little bit, because this is stuff that's going to keep coming up and being talked about as we head towards the election. And these things always come up and are talked about when the politician you want to win doesn't. Then we talk about these sort of things. Okay? So as we're headed towards this, be prayerful, listen, research, don't demean those you disagree with, have robust conversation, right? But pray. In all the midst of it, keep letting your light shine. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we have an opportunity to be in this nation and to worship, and I thank you for it. And I pray, Lord, that as the church, in all the situations that we find ourselves in as we go through life, we never stop being a light for the kingdom. We never stop. And Lord, I thank you that we have an opportunity to do it. That we as your people are part of what you have said, the ministry of reconciliation, that we share the gospel. And we're a part of you working and reclaiming a lost creation. We thank you for that. I pray that we never lose sight of it. And we don't replace it with other things and other means. But I pray in all this, you give us all wisdom. I pray the Holy Spirit, your conviction sharp as we work and do the things that we do in this nation. But I do pray this nation is blessed. I do pray this nation honors you. I do pray, Lord, that it's a revival that would sweep to the north and the south and the east and the west. Lord, because no matter what is in place, you can do what you do. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Amen, amen. All right. Well, Sunday morning, I want to talk to you about something. We're going to go to the book of James. I'm going to ask you a question at the end of the service, but I'm going to give you a little teaser. What is the difference between your intentions and your actual life action? We're going to talk about that Sunday. In other words, are you just a hearer of the word, or are you a doer also? But let's talk about that Sunday morning. So bring somebody out. I look forward to being with you. Have a blessed end of the week.